In the meantime, over the weekend, I was sure to reach out to our new best friend in the world, I think, Peter Fratterelli. Peter's with Archer Law down in Jersey. Peter is a labor and employment attorney who I am thrilled to know now because he's not in Albany. I don't have to worry about friends and relationships or connections, and I can get a legitimate outside opinion. And I'm sure that Peter is also, and I don't know if you've seen the post yet this morning, Peter, but the woman in question here is pictured on the front page of the New York Post this morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Yeah, I did see that this morning. I mean, it's obviously brave of her to come forward, and she has her photo out there for everyone to see. So,
well, let me start with that part for people, yeah. Okay? Because, again, it's fantastic that you don't know any of these people up here and you're on the outside. Talk about the bravery of a woman at a time like this. I think that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. I mean, I will tell you that I represent employers, so I'm usually on the management side. So, you know, I'm not the first one to jump on and say that, you know, that the victims are absolutely to be believed in every situation. They certainly are, but there's obviously times I've found in my experience where the claims I think have been exaggerated and pan out not to be true.
Sure.
But as I said, for this type of high-profile situation, for her to come forward, you know, I think at some point her name may have come out, but I'm sure her thought process was, look, I need to confront this. And as I said, it's one thing to be reported in a newspaper, it's another to come out on video and be interviewed and face the media and face the questions. So I think it certainly is very brave in this kind of a high profile situation, especially, you know, as you know, as the report laid out, there were certainly a number of attempts, or at least alleged attempts, either retaliation or retribution against people who've tried to speak out. So certainly that had to be in her mind as well before she made that decision.
Well, a couple of things here, just so you got a little background. One of them is her name was well known up here because she is a member of a well-known Albany County political family. And the name got around like wildfire. In fact, whenever I spoke with her attorney, he always made reference to the fact that before her name got out, that everybody knew who she was because it got around that way. But more importantly, you know, my point about her coming out is this, and I didn't ask her attorney about it this morning, but these are people here, this governor, these are the nastiest of nasty, Peter. They go after you like the Clintons did. You saw last week when Rita Glavin came out and went after the attorney general. They've been going after the attorneys in that office. That makes it doubly tough for an alleged victim to have their say. And it's got to make it more nerve-wracking for a young woman knowing she may have to testify, correct?
Well, yeah, it's not only just testifying. Obviously, she's, you know, I think she's relatively young, early 30s, I believe. And as you said, she's, you know, you mentioned that as well, but I did see one of the articles over the weekend that I pulled up did mention that, you know, that was my first knowledge of her, but did mention she had a political connection through the years. So, you know, as I said, she's in her early 30s and has to think about what she's going to be doing in her career politically or professionally for the next 20 or 30 years. So that has to be in her mind as well,
to,
you know, just knowing that what may be facing her now, what she may have to confront.
Okay, and that's why I called you. I didn't call you for all this so far. I called you for this reason. This woman marches into the Albany County Sheriff's Department last week and announces she wants to bring charges against the governor of New York State. And the sheriff up here is looking at it as potentially only a misdemeanor. I say only, but he's potentially looking at it as a misdemeanor. Tell me a little bit about what changes now, what the future is for her going forward, civil possibilities. Talk about that entire package, if you would, Peter.
Sure, I'd be glad to. Yeah, again, I mentioned to you last week, I'm not a criminal attorney, but I dabble in it from time to time as these claims sometimes can overlap. My rough understanding, again, this is just from reading up a little bit on New York law, just more out of curiosity and part because I wanted to speak with you this morning. It would be apparently just a misdemeanor. I say just a misdemeanor. Even though it's a misdemeanor, it can certainly result in prison time. It's not a traffic violation here. It's you have misdemeanors and felonies. Some felonies are more serious, but misdemeanors don't mean you may not serve time. But it's a misdemeanor of, I believe, sexual abuse would be the title because, you know, it would not rise to something more serious as a felony because it doesn't involve actual rape, penetration, anything, you know, of that nature. So certainly, according to the report, it was uncoerced, which would make it a crime. Again, has to be beyond a reasonable doubt, and assuming these are proven, has to be non-consensual. It would be a misdemeanor. So it would be criminal charges against him, and he would, you know, obviously face the music at some point and have to go either in front of a judge or a jury and decide whether that happened or not. And for her, what that means is, you know, the claims she would have civilly are still there, regardless of whether there's a criminal violation. So I want to be clear that not only is the standard lower, but remember, her claim would be for sexual harassment in addition to, you know, to sexual assault. But her claims for sexual harassment, even if they can't prove the criminal violations, doesn't mean that those would not go forward and that she would not have a claim for those. And that's both a lower standard and also a different standard in what you look at. So she would have, you know, civil claims for both sexual harassment as well as the assault.
As you look at this case, we're talking to Peter Fratterelli at the Archer Law Firm down in New Jersey this morning. Peter's a labor and employment attorney. As you look at this entire case from afar, Peter, and you see 11 women involved here, from a court standpoint, from a lawsuit standpoint, from a civil suit standpoint, where is all this morning, if you can even opine on that?
Yeah, it's a little hard because, again, we have to understand, again, these are allegations, of course, and he has the right to defend himself. We know that. There are just a number of allegations, many of them similar. And I will have to tell you, when I look at this from afar, the thing that strikes out at me is there's not a lot of denial in terms of the conduct. In other words, they're really trying to argue from the defense side. I mean, the most viable defense I've seen is just to argue that he's a touchy-feely friendly guy and he just does this with everybody. I mean, that seems to be the defense they're going with. So that is just not typically a great defense. But, you know, when you add up the volume of people and the people who are claiming to consensual, I mean, the problem with that defense is you're the governor, and even if the people appear to be consensual, you know, we talk about this all the time, you have this silent victim, you know, that, you know, someone may say, well, she was fine with it. Well, she was fine with it because you were the governor and this person was, say, an executive assistant, right? I mean, it comes across that way. And certainly, you know, that is the defense they're trying to raise. But like I said, I see it as a real problem civilly for the governor as well as the office, the executive office, just because of both the number of people, the similarity of the allegations, and really, again, the defense here seems to be throwing out a bunch of photos of him doing the same conduct with other people who were apparently fine with it. I mean, that doesn't mean that it's okay to the women who clearly had an issue with it.
Right. From your standpoint as a labor employment attorney, when you saw Rita Glavin, his attorney, come out last Friday, was that something that can benefit him or only hurt him?
Yeah, when I did watch her and her presentation, I know she was on CNN and a few other places. I did watch her, and I will tell you that, you know, I don't want to criticize someone you know, trying to do their job, but I'm just not sure that may have been the exact right approach I would have taken. I mean, I think it's better to confront these directly, either in court or in pleadings. I'm not sure that coming out in that nature really was a legal defense. It just seemed to be, you know, more for the political or the public relations side seemed to be the approach, because I'm not sure a lot would have been gained. I'm not sure anything was gained from the legal defense side in doing what they did. So, again, I can just tell you that just my style, different than maybe hers, right. My style would not have been to come out publicly with those kind of statements. Certainly we can give a comment, but beyond that, I'm not sure it's going to be very helpful to his defense.
Okay. One more thing before I let you go. Okay. I'm going to broaden this a little bit for you, because I know you have a sound, solid background in this type of world. From on a scale of 1 to 10, how unique is this case? It would seem like a 10 to me. Am I wrong?
It's a 9 or a 10. Yeah, it certainly is. Just because, I will say this, it's, you know, the cases I defend when I represent employers, you sometimes have presidents of a company, CEO of a company, people higher up who engage in pretty, you know, allegedly kind of offensive behavior. But oftentimes it's at smaller companies, and you know, it's oftentimes not really a high profile situation. And I say that because, you know, it's, how can I put it? You should know better at that level.
Yes.
You should know better at that level. And again, certainly there's been plenty of allegations over the years of famous people getting involved in this, but to have the multitude of people involved on a very similar repeated pattern at this high profile in 2021, 2020 seems pretty unique. At this point, you would have thought you'd be past a claim like this with this kind of volume and this kind of multitude of claims at that level.